For example, many people grow up saying grace in their home, thanking God for the food that's in front of them. And that was a habit. Maybe it was just rote for many people. I did not grow up doing that. But in my family, my husband and my daughter was little, she's in college now, we started just saying thank you for the food, just in general, like thank you to the animals that gave their life so we could have meat right now. Thank you to the farmers. Thank you to the ranchers. And then it became like a little bit of a joke in our family because we started really talking. Thank you to the grocery store owner. Thank you to the truckers who brought the food from the farm. Thank you to the farm workers. Thank you. And we started, you know, having these long thank yous, thinking of everyone who was involved in putting that meal in front of us. Thank you to the cook. I'm grateful that they thanked me finally, eventually. Thank you to the dishwasher, which is my husband. And so then it helps you realize our whole society was involved in getting this food to you.
Stay connected to gratitude. Hit the follow button right now and join thousands of listeners tuning in each week. We're the Gratitude Seekers. Come join us. Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Our guest today has been a host and executive producer of the cooking series Ali's Real Good Food on public television. And she's well known for her hit Food Network show, Healthy Appetite. She is the leading go-to nutritionist in the media today, helping people find the sweet spot where delicious and healthy meet. Her success can be attributed to her accessible way of offering tools for nurturing a richly satisfying, sumptuous lifestyle while cutting through the gimmicks, hype, and extreme eating that permeate our world. Ali Krieger, welcome to the Gratitude Podcast.
Thank you, Georgian. It's such a pleasure to be here.
It's my pleasure to have you on the Gratitude Podcast, and I'm really happy that we got to meet each other, and it's been really amazing to be a part of the same podcast network and find out more about you and another thing that I really appreciate about you is that when we talked about a gratitude concept, you went ahead and tried it out and had some amazing results, and I'm always very happy to hear that. So thank you for that.
Yes, thank you for that suggestion. As you're alluding to, we discussed your idea on my podcast recently, and it was when I tried it. I mean, I couldn't help but try it because it was so simple. I'm teasing everyone here because I'm not telling everyone what it was. But it was such a simple thing that had such a profound impact and continues to. So I thank you. And I encourage everyone to listen to that on One Real Good Thing, which is my podcast as part of this Digitant network that we are. And I'm so grateful that this brought us together because I love your podcast and the work you're doing and the notion of a gratitude seeker, because I am one as well. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that. It's amazing. And I'm really happy that we got to do this together. And I'm sure that our listeners are very curious about what we've been talking on your podcast. So go ahead and search for a real good thing, One Real Good Thing, and for Ali Krieger on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts, and you'll definitely find that. So let us know firstly, what is your definition of gratitude? I'm really curious on how you define for yourself what gratitude is.
Wow, that's really, now you're taking me off guard a little bit because I don't think I've ever actually thought about it. It's funny because for me, it's almost not an intellectual thing, but it's a feeling. It's a very visceral thing. And I've actually used that sort of visceral sensibility to make decisions in my life. It's sort of that more of a heart thing than a brain thing. So for me, yes, it happens in your brain. You know, you make an intention to focus on things that you rely on, that bring you pleasure, that are important to you. And that's gratitude, but also it's a feeling. It's a feeling of, it's almost like a warm flood of comfort that comes over me when I'm expressing gratitude or when I'm feeling gratitude. So I hope that's not a very dictionary friendly definition, but that I guess would be mine.
No, I think it's perfect actually, because this is what we want here. Something that, like you defined it, that's very personal. It's really not something that you would find in a dictionary, but it's a beautiful way of expressing what you're experiencing through your own words. And that's why I'm asking this question, because I think it's really interesting to see how people experience gratitude in different ways. And it helps us actually connect to gratitude in different ways, because we have different words to describe what we're experiencing. And it can be, for many of our listeners, a new way of connecting with gratitude. And I think that's wonderful. But we talked a little bit before when we met for the interview that we did on your podcast, about a really, really interesting topic that I'm eager to explore more. So tell us a little bit about taste and pleasure and what this has to do with gratitude. One of the things that are guaranteed to connect you to gratitude is going out in nature. I love nature. And seeing how much plastic waste we are producing made me think of ways of cutting back. One thing I'm always throwing in my recycling is those huge laundry detergent bottles. But did you know, 500 million of those bottles end up in landfills and oceans every single year? That's why I made the switch to EarthBreeze laundry sheets. They come in plastic-free packaging, so they're more eco-friendly than traditional detergent. It's an easy way to get clean clothes without all the plastic waste. Get 40% off with your subscription at earthbreeze.com/gratitude. That's earthbreeze.com/gratitude. I've also included a link in the resources section of this episode so that you can easily access it with just one tap.
Yes, and I want to just tie that in also to just introduce myself a little bit further. That
sure.
Yes, I'm a television chef, and people often see me, you know, in that way, which that is what I do, and I write cookbooks and so on. But I started off with this career. I'm a nutrition professional, so I'm a registered dietitian, and my master's is in nutrition education. And the way I kind of see myself providing nutrition education for people is through recipes and through food and through the various media outlets, so including television and podcasting and things like that. So I start off from this real base as a nutritionist. And one thing that I think is often missing from the conversation about what is healthy is pleasure. So we talk about grams of carbohydrates or milligrams of sodium or whatever, and we forget to talk, and that's all important perhaps in certain disciplines of nutrition, but we forget how important pleasure is. And I think that ties in very much to gratitude, right? Because of that feeling that I said that washes over you, washes over me when I'm feeling grateful. And so this sense of awareness and gratitude and awareness of pleasure, awareness of the sensual aspects of food is not just pure pleasure. It actually is a healthy thing to do from a nutritional perspective. And I can kind of dive into more about why.
Yeah, definitely do so.
So imagine, you know, most people in the modern world are, you know, gobbling their food without really, we're just sort of like, maybe we're eating a sandwich in the car. Maybe we're, you know, we're constantly eating on the go, constantly walking around with a cup of coffee, whatever. And maybe even, you know, dinner time is in a rush. I know sometimes, you know, people are eating over the sink even or whatever. It's just all rushed and it's not, I mean, and there are different cultural norms in different parts of the world where maybe in, when I was in Italy, you know, everyone still then was stopping for, even in the middle of a work day, was stopping for a proper lunch to sit down with people and talk and connect. And there's that community aspect of it too, which is a whole other thing. But let's imagine now you're eating a sandwich in a car, compare that and just gobbling it down. And then after you just feel almost like ill because you ate a gigantic sandwich that was maybe twice the size of what you really needed. But it all happened so fast, you barely even noticed. you just sort of filled your belly. Sometimes that has to happen, right? But maybe not. What if you sat down and got away from your computer? Or actually, maybe people are eating in their car. Probably more often they're eating in front of their computer, which I find actually really unsanitary, but that's a whole different thing. But if you just step away literally from your desk and move to a table or a different space, and you just take a moment to appreciate the aroma of your food. What does it look like? How crispy is the bread of that sandwich? What are the colorful ingredients inside? Whatever you're eating, if you can recognize the various sensual aspects of it, and then as you're eating it, really feel the crunch, hear it in your ears, really taste the nuances of the ingredients, of the tanginess of the mustard, of the creaminess of the avocado, whatever it may be that you're eating. If you're really truly experiencing it, one thing that happens from a nutritional perspective is that you slow down. And when you slow down, you give your body a chance to sort of tap in and realize, okay, maybe I've had enough. Like at some point in that eating, the pleasure sort of tapers off because you're actually being satisfied. And so when you slow down and you experience gratitude for the flavors, for the colors, for the crunch and texture, and for even having food, right? When you do that, you also prevent yourself from overeating and you also wind up feeling more satisfied. And you don't have to measure anything and you don't have to count calories and you don't have to do any of this sort of unnecessary rule keeping. But you're honoring what your body needs and what you're really listening to your internal cues of satiety. And when you do that, you wind up eating the right amount for you. As opposed to when you gobble it down mindlessly, you often wind up overeating because it takes your brain about 20 minutes to tell your it takes your stomach about 20 minutes to tell your brain, okay, I've had enough. So if you just allow yourself that beat, that can have remarkably profound consequences for not overeating, which then has a cascade of effects that are positive. You're getting fueled properly without overdoing it. And then you wind up really having more pleasure and more contentment from your food, and you're not constantly seeking the next thing to eat just to fill the hole. So that's one layer of it. And I can explain more layers, but I want to give you a chance to ask a question or speak.
Thank you for that. Thank you. So yeah, I think this is amazing. There are so many benefits to this, and it's really a wonderful way of practicing gratitude, appreciating the food that we eat. And it is somehow related to what we spoke on your podcast, because it's something that we do constantly. We eat every day, a few times every day. And when we do this in a different way, we can enhance our experience with gratitude even more. And we can use gratitude in this habit that we have even more. And I think this is amazing. And I didn't even think about all of the other benefits. So I was thinking about, okay, we are enjoying food more and you're enjoying every taste and every nuance and the texture and everything. That in and of itself, from my point of view, it's an amazing benefit. I didn't even think it goes even deeper. So if there are other layers, let us know. I'm really curious.
Yeah, there is another layer for me, and that's the layer of community and understanding the food systems. And it's really deep stuff, right? As you know, a simple thing like being more grateful in a small way can lead to these very deep layered changes, and kind of like peeling an onion, right? So, for example, many people grow up saying grace in their home, thanking God for the food that's in front of them. And that was a habit. Maybe it was just rote for many people. I did not grow up doing that. But in my family, my husband and my daughter was little, she's in college now, we started just saying thank you for the food, just in general, like thank you to the animals that gave their life so we could have meat right now. Thank you to the farmers. Thank you to the ranchers. And then it became like a little bit of a joke in our family, because we started really talking, thank you to the grocery store owner. Thank you to the truckers who brought the food from the farm. Thank you to the farm workers. Thank you. And we started, you know, having these long thank yous, thinking of everyone who was involved in putting that meal in front of us. Thank you to the cook. I'm grateful that they thanked me finally, eventually. Thank you to the dishwasher, which is my husband. And so then it helps you realize that this is not nothing that's in front of you. This is very deeply ingrained. Our whole society was involved in getting this food to you. And a lot of things had to go right for that to happen. And a lot of human beings are involved in that process. And it's important to honor them, and to honor, if you're eating meat, we feel in my family that it's important to be respectful of that meat, that a life was given so that you could eat this food. And so I think all of that also, it helps you understand, when you understand food systems, then you're less likely to waste food. When I really absolutely hate wasting food, because I understand what goes into bringing that. And actually, there's some really important ecological implications of that, because about 40% of the food in the United States that's grown and raised is wasted at various stages of the market, including the consumer level. And that's a huge contributor to greenhouse gases. It's just waste. People who are hungry aren't, you know, getting that food. So it's a waste of resources. And if we can all kind of be more grateful and understanding of the process, maybe we wouldn't waste as much food. Maybe we would respect farm workers more. So many things, I think, come from that awareness, as well as that family connection of the community of eating together, of literally breaking bread together and having a conversation at the table. And all of that slowing down, all of that gratitude for the company that you're with, or even if I'm by myself personally, even that gratitude for a moment of quiet where I make a nice meal for myself and sit down and I set the table, I might light a candle, and making it special for yourself and taking that time, it's almost like a small meditation in a way. And not to make it too precious, but it's food, it should be fun, it should be entertaining, it should be sensuous. And all of that is healthy on many different levels.
Wow. So many amazing ideas in just a few phrases. I I love this perspective, and I think it's just wonderful when we think about it. And I was thinking about my own experience with growing my food, or with my parents growing the food in their garden. I remember how much I appreciated even those vegetables that weren't perfect, you know, like the ones that you wouldn't pick when you're at the grocery store. Even those, they were appreciated much more somehow. And it makes a lot of sense, and it really gives you a different kind of way of seeing things when you look at the food that you have, and you think about food waste and so on. And like I posted on Instagram, I think it's amazing that we get to experience food from all over the world. Like in the past, we had to travel quite a lot to enjoy different kinds of foods. And now we can enjoy them wherever we live, usually. Like I was sharing the example with pimentos al padrón, the peppers. I thought that I would only be able to have that experience in Barcelona, in Spain. But actually, I am, and we are lucky enough to enjoy them here as well. And for me, that was amazing, because it was really a delight. And for me, and since I've experienced them there, it just reminds me of the fact that I'm experiencing things that are from all over the world. And I think it's amazing. And especially I'm thinking about you as well. Like, you can play with all kinds of ingredients from all over the world, right?
Americans spend an average of 90% of their time indoors and take about 20,000 breaths a day. According to the EPA, indoor air is 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases up to 100 times more polluted. Data shows that air pollution is responsible for nearly 7 million premature deaths globally. We are fortunate enough to live outside the city with easy access to it and a green meadow view outside the window. The not so fortunate part is that when we open the windows, we can hear all the constant traffic close to us, and the air quality isn't the best. Aside from that, our neighbors have a passion for using all kinds of fossil fuel motors to build or cut grass. I love doing breath work. I'm sure you do too. And it's in those moments when you breathe deeply that you become aware of the quality of the air you breathe and how important it actually is. So what's the solution? Introducing an air purifier that captured the attention of established media outlets such as CNN, Money, ABC, and more. Air Doctor. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mite, mold, and even bacteria and viruses, so your lungs don't have to. All Air Doctor purifiers also feature whisper jet fans, 30% quieter than ordinary air purifiers. Air Doctor also comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code GRATITUDE, and depending on the model, you'll receive up to 39% off or up to $300 off. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Love this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code GRATITUDE.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't know what I would do without like real Parmesan cheese from Parmigiano Reggiano. I don't know what I would do without that. That's like a staple for me. Or lemons. I mean, I live in New York City, and I, you know, I buy lemons all the time. And I have to say, though, somehow food tastes different, though, when you're eating it in the place.
That's true.
There's something there. So nothing, I mean, you can travel through your plate, which is wonderful. And I appreciate that so much. And I love to explore particularly the healthy flavors from around the world. And it keeps it so exciting to be able to bring in all of these global flavors. And most, and as you say, most people can access those ingredients, but it doesn't take the place fully of traveling for me, because there's something about being, you know, on the beach in Greece that makes that spinach pie or that fish or whatever taste even better. It's sort of like, I also believe that food tastes better when you're eating with somebody you love.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask people what their favorite meal ever was, I'll bet you it was at some point where they were just in love.
Yeah, definitely. I can totally, I totally resonate with that, because I remember some meals with my girlfriend that were so simple. Yeah, the fact that we were together and life was so simple, and we enjoyed each other's presence, and we enjoyed that food together. That was very fulfilling. Yeah, definitely. And about traveling, so the fact that I can connect with that experience of being there in Barcelona and eating it, it's amazing, and it's the next best thing. But of course, the best thing is to actually be there and to enjoy the atmosphere and to experience the local culture. I love that. And definitely, I was thinking about other parts of the world that I was blessed to see and to experience. And yeah, the tastes there are really hard to put into words. Like, sometimes I thought that when people came from different parts of the world, when they went traveling and said, the pastas are here are nothing compared to how they are in Italy. And I was thinking, come on, can it really be like that? It's just pasta, and you have the same kind of ingredients and everything, or the pizza or things of that nature. But when I went there and I experienced, wow, it's a whole different story. That's true.
Yeah. And then, and the idea that of really experiencing it. So I'm sure you didn't just gobble it down while you were walking down the street. Like, you really sit and you absorb it, because you're on, maybe that's why, because you're really paying attention in those moments and you're really taking it in. And so maybe we can take some of that back with us into our regular lives and really experience it and really take it in and really be grateful for it.
Exactly, exactly. And I think it's amazing that we have this opportunity to experience so many things. And I was thinking about, and I'm a curious person, and I love to find out how different things came to be. And just thinking about the some of the spices that we enjoy right now, how many efforts it took for many people, and how complicated it all was for us to get spices in Europe, for instance. I thought it was fascinating, because when I was born, of course, and when all of us were born, spices were all around, and it was something normal and something that we got to enjoy easily. But at one point, getting spices was kind of a complicated business, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. And actually, in English, the word salary comes from the word salt, because you got paid in salt, because it was so difficult. That was such a precious commodity. Wow. And we don't think of salt as a precious commodity now, perhaps. And it's maybe something we need to eat less of. But at one point in time, it was difficult to come by. So that's why they call it a salary. And wow. So then you can extend that idea to the whole spice route. I mean, that was like the beginning of, I guess, globalization in some ways.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. It's amazing. It makes so much sense. Yeah. And we are now so blessed, so rich in so many ways, especially in the sense of tastes, that we can easily just go to the supermarket and get any kind of spice that we want, and usually we can afford all of them or most of them pretty easily. I think that's amazing, and it's something that getting back to pleasure and taste is something that I think we can all be grateful for.
Yes, absolutely. And with when it comes to those spices, you know, besides being grateful for the flavor and aroma and their transformative power of foods, we can also be grateful for their health benefits, which we might not really realize, because all of those spices have really profound taste health benefits besides taste benefits. And so I'm always personally looking, as you mentioned at the top, for that sweet spot where delicious and healthy meet. And spices is definitely one of them, because spices have well-known anti-inflammatory effects and antioxidants and these important protective aspects that help our bodies fight disease.
One of the things that are guaranteed to connect you to gratitude is going out in nature. I love nature. And seeing how much plastic waste we are producing made me think of ways of cutting back. One thing I'm always throwing in my recycling is those huge laundry detergent bottles. But did you know, 500 million of those bottles end up in landfills and oceans every single year? That's why I made the switch to EarthBreeze laundry sheets. They come in plastic-free packaging, so they're more eco-friendly than traditional detergent. It's an easy way to get clean clothes without all the plastic waste. Get 40% off with your subscription at earthbreeze.com/gratitude. That's earthbreeze.com/gratitude. I've also included a link in the resources section of this episode, so that you can easily access it with just one tap. Exactly. And I was thinking about India, for instance, and the fact that they are using quite a lot of spices. And again, getting back to my me being curious, I found out that actually they are doing that because it helps preserve the food. It helps make it healthier for them, since their climate is so hot. And I think it's so wonderful how humans have adapted in different parts of the world and have used the local spices to balance things out. Like if it's too hot, they found some ways of cooling down by using different kinds of spices. And I'm thinking about mint, for instance, that people in the Arabian countries use with yogurt. I think that's an amazing combination. And getting back to you on this, I'm really curious, what are some of your favorite spices?
Wow, so my spice cabinet is just tremendously varied and very diverse. Imagine. And I love, to me, it's sort of like being a painter, and you just don't have five colors that you work with. I mean, you may go on Jags where you're in your blue phase or something, but in the end, you want a full spectrum. So I'm always excited to be discovering something new. But I would say there are certain spices that I typically rely on. And certain spices like garlic, ginger, cumin, coriander, cinnamon cross so many different cultural divides, really. So they're incorporated in so many different cultural cuisines. So I would say those are sort of like my right-hand spices that I use. But I recently discovered a Korean spice. So during the pandemic, when we were in lockdown and I couldn't go to restaurants, I live in New York City. I love going to restaurants and getting so much inspiration from these artists, really, who are cooking. Even in, you know, small family restaurants, it's artistry, really. And there's so many different cultures represented here. So it's one of my favorite things. And I grew up here, so I'm kind of used to that. So during the lockdown, I was really just cooking my food. And I love my food also, and I enjoy cooking. But at some point, I just kind of like got bored. And so I bought this cookbook, this Korean cookbook called My Korea. And it was so such a different way of cooking for me, different techniques, different spices. So all of a sudden I felt like, whoa, interested. Like I just got a little of my mojo back. And one of the ingredients that was frequently used in these recipes was a spice called gochugaru. And it's like a smoky pepper spice, dry spice, but it's not too hot. It's like mildly hot and has like a smoky sweetness to it. And I just got so into it. So that's like something I've been just really into lately, sprinkling it on eggs, putting it on potatoes, putting it as a rub for chicken, things like that. So it's fun to just sort of have that excitement. There's always something exciting around the corner. And it's something that I really love about food, and spices is definitely one of the key things there.
Exactly. I love how you shared that with us, how you shared your enthusiasm about that new spice. And that's what I wanted us to get to have our audience experience that enthusiasm and see that even you that has experimented with so many spices and you know about many more spices than we do, most probably, you are still finding new things that you can enjoy, new things that you can explore. And I think this is the wonderful part about our topic today, the fact that we can experience so much pleasure and there are so many tastes out there that we can enjoy, that there's basically no limit. And we can do this for all of our life if we choose to. And since we eat, we can implement this as well. We can appreciate more the things that we eat, and we can explore new interesting things to eat in such a way that it just makes our life more delicious, right?
Completely. And then it also helps us get more variety. And variety is also another very key nutritional benefit, because different ingredients have different nutritional strengths and weaknesses, right? And if we only eat the same thing all the time, then we wind up only with that set of nutrients, and we may wind up weaker in some areas. Whereas if we mix it up, then we really balance things out and get a natural nutritional balance from that natural variety. So it's one of the reasons for eating seasonally, for example. You're going to get a real variety just built in.
Yeah, that's such a good idea. And I love how you put another layer to things. I think we complete each other very beautifully, in the sense that I'm excited about the first step, about the appreciation of the food, and then you come and you explain how amazing it is actually for our health when we do this, and when we explore things, and when we get variety, when we appreciate the food. I love it. I think it's exactly on point with what we intended for this interview. So I'm really happy that we got to do this and we got to speak about this topic.
Me too, George. And thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it, and your insights and your thoughtful approach, because you make me think too, and that's a really good thing.
Thank you so much. It was a real pleasure. And let our audience know where they can follow you, where they can get in touch with you.
Yes, I have a website called elliekrieger.com, ELLIEKRIEGER.com. And I have recipes and articles and videos, and the podcast is on there. So it's really kind of one-stop shopping for all things.
Yeah, definitely. And if Instagram is your favorite platform, you can see Ellie there. She has some delicious recipes and oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always posting on pretty much all the social media platforms. So whatever your preferred one is, I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and TikTok now, which is sort of a fun adventure. Wow. So yeah, always cooking something.
Yeah, awesome. Something healthy and delicious, I'm sure.
Yes.
Thank you so much for your time and for being here with us and for sharing your enthusiasm, your passion, and your gratitude with us. Thank you.
Thank you too.
Hey, Gratitude Seeker, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day or maybe even their life much better. Thank you so much once again. This has been Giorgio Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.